Debt is Divisive by Gillian Gotzel, Part 1. Let us be very clear about this issue. Debt is divisive. At the risk of being inflammatory, it gets the same level of mixed emotion as the R word. Depending on your perspective and level of solvency, it can be a very dirty word indeed. Debt is genuinely divisive. Where the needle turns is when the system breaks down, as it has done on an international basis. We are now living in uncharted waters, where the rules have changed and the language is polarised. We need to understand what debt is, how we got into it, how we can get out of it, and how we can deal with debt when the system is broken. And we need to do this without the rhetoric of hate, shame and scapegoating. Nobody said debt was easy, but it doesn't have to be so hard, and it doesn't need to cost life. No more, please. Let's consider debt. In the good old days, getting into debt was a normal rite of passage for an adult. A person finished education and got a job and moved out of home. In time, they maybe purchased a car, which would probably require a motor loan, and then in Ireland, they would buy a home, which definitely required a mortgage, unless they were a drug dealer. Acquisition of debt was normal. It was laudable, even. In the good old days, exiting from debt was fairly straightforward, too. As a person aged, they paid off their mortgage and loans, entering retirement with their home in their name, no longer the bank's, and a few bob in their pocket. This progression was fairly typical, whether the person bought a semi-detached house in Tallaght or a red brick in Ranelagh. Debt just wasn't an issue. Whether they had a large mortgage on a big house or a modest one on a bungalow, debt was just a part of life, a part that people passed through with lots of hard work, but without much drama. Then the financial world changed. We were particularly unlucky here in Ireland in that we had already changed dramatically before the financial crises. The timing for our Celtic Tiger could not have been more unfortunate, for it catapulted hundreds of thousands of people into immediate and painful debt, now spelt with a capital D. Let us consider the Celtic Tiger briefly for a moment. When I left Ireland in 1987, I was a very proud Irish woman. Ireland was seen as a shining example of how a small, modern economy could create great wealth despite a scarcity of natural resources, no manufacturing base to speak of, and a tiny population. We were doing it again, taking our place on a world stage out of all proportion to our global importance. It was a triumph of spirit over adversity. In fact, it seemed that our very history had somehow conspired to take our painful path to sovereignty and use it as a lever to leapfrog us to greatness. Since the crash, we have forgotten that it was our natural talents that created the Celtic Tiger, not the property bubble. That came afterwards. The property bubble was a symptom of our success, not the engine. So even as we were creating real wealth, developing new businesses, and becoming an intellectual powerhouse in Europe, things were changing, and property became the outward symbol of our success, and ultimately, as we all know, the bubble that did us in.